Welcome back to WBOI Presents. I'm Ben Clemmer. We'll be diving into the opioid crisis this hour with voices from Indiana Tech's Tech Talk series. We'll hear a variety of voices, some Indiana Tech professors examining how the opioid epidemic has hit their fields. We'll also hear from Justin Phillips, the executive director of Overdose Lifeline, who has lost a son to an overdose. Our first presentation comes from Fort Wayne Police Narcotics Detective J.C. Gutierrez. He is on the front lines of fighting the opioid epidemic in Fort Wayne, and he'll speak about contributing factors that have led to this crisis, as well as how to administer Narcan to save someone's life. Here's Detective Gutierrez.
I'm here to talk about Narcan and what we do with it. Obviously, there's a huge opioid crisis that's been happening all through the United States. Indiana has been hit especially hard. I just read an article where we're 15th in opioid overdoses in the nation. And we see it all the time in Fort Wayne. It's not something that, you know, we see it often. We probably administer Narcan, I'm assuming, I haven't seen the stats lately, but around three or four times a week, sometimes twice a day. It's a huge problem, and we still see it. And we're going to continue to see it, but it's real, and it happens all the time. Besides a narcotics detective, I've been tasked with a new ordinance that Fort Wayne has. It keeps tabs on commercial properties like hotels, bars, stuff like that. So I do a lot of my patrol that I do when I do patrol around hotels. And if you guys know Fort Wayne, we have some problem hotels, especially around Coliseum and Goshen. So a lot of overdoses, a lot of needles, a lot of heroin, a lot of drugs in general happen in these hotels. And that's what I'm focusing right now. My efforts is to, you know, just build a better relationship with hotels so we can do whatever we can to stop whatever crime, whatever we can do with these individuals. But a lot of that overdoses we see there, especially around Goshen and Coliseum right now. When I first started Vice and Narcotics, I came in as undercover. And when I first came in, I thought, hey, we're just going to buy a whole bunch of cocaine, whatever. But my first buy was actually pills. And I was surprised that there were pills. And then my second buy was Suboxone. We were buying a whole bunch of Suboxone. At that time, in 2011, I was surprised. I mean, I was taken back how many pills we were buying. Opana was the big thing back then. It's still around, but not under the name Opana. And we used to buy pills for like $80, $100 per pill, depending on the milligram. And that's all we bought. We bought cocaine and pills. It was crazy. And then as it progressed, we hardly ever bought heroin. When we first started, we rarely saw heroin in 2011. Then in 2013, 2014, we started buying heroin. And we started small, you know, stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, heroin from 2014 to maybe last year, that's almost everything we bought all the time. At one point, we got 18 pounds of it coming through Fort Wayne, and we intercepted it. So it's amazing how much heroin was coming through Fort Wayne. So we started, leads on heroin. And the thing is about heroin is that we were seeing all walks of life being addicted to either pills, heroin, or, you know, whatever opiate was around. And all walks of life. It wasn't just one demographic. It was everything. So we started buying pills, especially from a lot of people, heroin from a lot of people. And what happened was that this heroin kept going, and we're buying so much of it that we saw the price go down in heroin. Usually, if you buy a heroin, when I first started buying heroin in 2013, around there, it was around $200 a gram, let's say. And that's, and when it becomes more common to see it, what's going to happen? Prices are going to drop. So we were buying it for $150, sometimes $120, stuff like that. Then we figured out why it was happening. Besides, a lot of people were dealing heroin, people were also trying to cut the drug with fentanyl. So fentanyl started getting into the mix around 2015, 2014. And what was happening is the increase in overdose deaths skyrocketed because of the fentanyl. People didn't know that the heroin they bought had fentanyl or it was just pure fentanyl. And around that time, the overdoses just increased, especially I remember in 2015, they were out of control. Now, when I say overdoses, or the stats also include, you know, like synthetic drugs, like spice, stuff like that, but most of them were from opiates. So we saw this in fentanyl, and then some people actually became, obviously, it's all about money and business, so it's cheaper to get fentanyl than heroin. So if you can buy a cheaper opiate and sell it, then obviously your profits are going to increase significantly. And fentanyl is such a powerful opiate that you don't need a lot to even get high. And obviously around 2016, 2015 is when we started carrying Narcan, Naxalone, and we started administering. And now, lately, I wouldn't be surprised if we're doing it 3-4 times a week. When we do it sometimes, we're going to need more than just one dose. Sometimes we're Narcanning people 2 or 3 times. We all carry it. I carry one right here. Right now I only got one. I usually carry 2 because you never know how many you're going to need. You always carry one for yourself because you don't know what you're going to touch, what you're going to inhale. So one is not enough. So I should be getting 2, you know, one more at least. But that's what I carry right now. But there's more in my car. I just carry it with me. Just carry 1 or 2 at a time. And since Allen County has their own syringe services program that opened up last year, and this year they started giving Narcan to those addicts exchanging needles. So that's another way that we're seeing a lot of Narcan, we're seeing a lot of needles because of the syringe program that happens in Allen County that started last year. They had about 10 people, now they have around 50 people a week, and they're thinking about increasing it to 2 or 3 times a week just to exchange needles. But that's the general brief history of what's going on with opiates right now.
Detective Gutierrez took several questions from the Tech Talk audience, but the audience members were not mic'd. So I will provide the questions as we go. The first question asked the detective to walk through a typical scenario when officers respond to an overdose situation.
Well, initially, it comes in as an EMS call, usually, or a person down. Those two types of calls, either EMS or a person down. So we get there, whoever gets there first, depending on how it's called. If it's a person down, then 3 responders going to respond, police, EMS, and fire. If it's just EMS, then EMS will respond first. But if it's a 41, we get there. We all have been trained on how to suspect somebody has an opiate overdose, you know, lethargic, blue lips, breathing very shallow. And then you start administering Narcan. It's very easy to administer. You just got to spray up the nose. It doesn't matter what nostril. And that's pretty much what it is. After that, you make sure they get their dose, then they go to the hospital automatically. It's immediate, yes. I mean, as close to immediate as you can get. It's very, very quick. Now, sometimes, like I said, you had to administer 2 or 3 times. And the reason for that is because the Narcan has a half-life of the opiate. So, say they took a whole bunch of opiates, whether it be fentanyl, whatever it is, you apply Narcan, and then you notice maybe that they start overdosing again, and that's because the Narcan left the system already and the opiate attached again to a receptor. So that's why sometimes you have to do 2 or 3, and that's why they automatically go to the hospital, because you don't know if they're going to overdose again on the same opiate that they were trying to get high on. After the person goes to the hospital, is okay, there's still an investigation, because sometimes what do they have left over when they overdose? They either have the drug, syringes. And when we say we administer Narcan, I'm talking about police department. So they'd be, you know, way more than it happens during the week than I know of.
The next audience member asked about precautions that officers take when responding to an overdose.
Yeah, especially fentanyl. Fentanyl is such a powerful opiate, and it's a powder. You don't know if it goes in through your nose, eyes, whatever. So you don't know. So sometimes we do carry, or sometimes if we're going to a run, we always have another person, an officer that doesn't do anything except stand there and make sure nobody else overdoses. And when we're testing the drug at my office, we have Narcan hanging everywhere and somebody standing by just in case.
The last question from the audience asked the detective to dive deeper into the origins of the opioid epidemic, such as overprescribing, and how law enforcement has responded.
A lot of this addiction started from prescriptions. In 2014, 2013, we were taking down a lot of doctors, and they're overprescribing opiates. And that's what the story of when people become addicted to opiates, I hear it all the time, where they got in a car accident, an injury somehow, and they started taking prescribed opiates, Oxycontin, oxymorphone, whatever. And then they couldn't get any more because of insurance or whatever else. Then they couldn't afford, so they started going to heroin. So that's just a common story that I hear over, over and over. A lot of the heroin that we used to get used to be from Asia, from Afghanistan and that area. Now, about 5 years ago, maybe before, Mexico started growing their own heroin, so it's easier to get here. So if you can just grow it there and import it in, it's a lot easier than importing from Asia. Combination of the ease to enter heroin from the South and then the overprescribing. The Attorney General has their diversion program, which that's what they exactly do. And also the DEA has a diversion program. And in general, if a doctor is prescribing 10,000 prescriptions per year, they might be like, hey, maybe something's going on. If they prescribe like 13,000, 15,000, they might start an investigation. The two that we brought down were prescribing around 30,000 a year. So that's how it starts. And then you start investigating how they administer, who they're administering to, who's overdosing, how many patients they see a day. The person we brought down was seeing about 100 patients per day, which with Matt, you know, if you do the math, you can only see a patient about 2 minutes per. And obviously 2 minutes per is not enough for vitals, for whatever else. So that's how you start in general investigation.
That was Fort Wayne Police Narcotics Detective J.C. Gutierrez. After a short break, we'll hear from professors at Indiana Tech about how the opioid crisis has impacted their fields. Thank you for listening to WBOI Presents on 89.1 WBOI.